The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the mic.
Welcome back to another edition of Moody on the Mic. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, as they always do every week, well, the one man who does every week, and the others just tend to come and go as they please, but Peter Moody, welcome to you.
Great to be here, Roger. You and I are the staples of this show. Rain Man, now obviously a very important and integral part of the Ladbrokes hierarchy. He bobs in and visits us every now and again. And, well, the social butterfly, the man of the beautiful people, Mytho, well, he just sets his own timetable. So it's great to join you again, Rog. And who have we got joining us this week?
It's a gentleman from Ladbrokes by the name of Thomas Hackett, who I believe celebrated a birthday yesterday. And you look better than you have after some of your birthdays in the past, I must say, Rayman.
Yeah, absolutely right, Roger. A very quiet birthday by my standards. In fact, I did not have a single beer, I just realised. Not a single beer on my birthday this year when back in the day it would have been many beers followed by many vodka Red Bulls. Thankfully, I stayed clear of those this year. So, a very quiet birthday at home with the family. And unfortunately, very rainy weather here in Brisbane. We've already seen Saturday's meeting moved to Eagle Farm from Doomben, and it doesn't look like this weather's getting any better. So not ideal for the first Group 1 of Stradbroke season, not ideal for Magic Round in the NRL either.
Might just even things up for the Melbourne Storm Penrith game with Ryan Pappenhausen out and a few other injuries for us to cope with. So hopefully we can retain top spot in the ladder there. But we're not here to talk about Magic Round. Let's talk about the big wet and the shift to the racing. And I'd imagine from a trainer's perspective, Merz, you've got a runner up there that we'll touch on in our preview in Brereton. But the fact that you'd rather go to Eagle Farm, although it might not be a track you were prepared for, so to speak, at least you're not going to be on a bottomless track there at Doomben, where, to be honest, the racing might not have even gone ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Racing Queensland have been proactive in shifting this meeting, and good on them for doing that. And obviously the meeting will go ahead in Eagle Farm. It's a terrific draining track to the degree where people feel it gets too firm. But I think the rain, unfortunately, is forecast for the day on Saturday as well. And that's when all tracks get into a sort of a very ordinary state if it rains while the races are on. But at least at this stage, Eagle Farm's going to present a much better surface than Doomben, and, good racing there. And we saw good racing last weekend also. The Gold Coast, doesn't it do a tremendous job, that track? They race week in, week out, public holidays, carnivals. And we saw, probably arguably Australia's best horse or one of Australia's best horses in Zaki ply his trade there, and trained by the world's best trainer, Annabelle Neesham. He got the job done. He probably wasn't as impressive as last year, but he now rolls up his sleeves and heads to Doomben for the Cup. And the Mar Eustace juggernaut continued in South Australia. Snap Dancer just controlling that Sangster Stakes beautifully from the front. Ethan Brown, Northern Territorian boy, been down in Melbourne for a good few seasons now, and congratulations to him on his first Group 1 win.
Right, man, we'll get back to the rain. For the Rain Man, because that's exactly what you're here to talk about. It's weather. But if there's one thing Eagle Farm does, it's drain. Like Mood said, it probably drains too well. So that's been an issue in the past. But I suppose Tony Gollum said to me today that, they had a meet there last year where it was hosing throughout the day and they still raced on a soft six. It was probably a soft five. So I suppose we've just got to back it in that we're not only going to get the race there, but even if it does rain throughout the day, we're going to be racing on a reasonable surface as well.
Yeah, I think that's right, Rog. It is the benefit of having the situation with Eagle Farm where it does drain so well. And I think all credit does need to go to Racing Queensland and the Brisbane Racing Club for, at least in punters' minds, making the decision and making it nice and early in the week, where we knew when final fields came out that we would only be racing at Eagle Farm on Saturday, which as punters is all we can ask for. We've seen situations in other states where you're not sure where you're going to be racing. Things change last minute. But I think that they made the right call, and they've made the right call very early. So full credit to Racing Queensland. And I still think we're going to get a terrific day of racing at Eagle Farm on Saturday. And the Doomben 10,000 to be raced at Eagle Farm is shaping up as a very interesting race. One of our favourite gallopers on Moody and the Mic goes round. And I think he's a very good chance, old Special K.
Yes, we'll get to that preview shortly. Of course, Anthony Mithen, you've come in a little bit late. The opposite of what Michael Poy did at Kyneton on Monday, where he confused a 2,800 and something metre race for a 1,200 metre race. And Matty Hill was onto it pretty early as well. A very good call from him. If you haven't heard it, here it is.
So with the 250 metres to go on the first round, Dente has gone up and gone towards the front here and is given a slap with the whip, and I fear that the jockey might think that this is a one-lap race. In fact, I'm convinced of it. Michael Poy, I believe this is. I fear that he's thinking this is a 1,200-metre race. It's gone to the front and leads by about seven or eight lengths to in second place Dancing Duck. You're going to get a shock shortly, Mickey. About three further back, Piero Rosso, and they were followed by along the inside behind those horses. We've got Court Painter. Yes, he's just realised now there, Mickey Poy on Dente. So he's going to sit third, one off the fence, but we've still got another 1,200 metres to go.
So there you go. Premature adulation from Michael Poy. He's gone early. Mitho, you came in late. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
What did you make of it? It's not the first time we've seen it, but it's the first time in a long time we've seen it.
I tell you what I loved. I love the fact that Michael Poy came out and rode the next winner. And hats off to a young man who's made a mistake that he'd be embarrassed about. And he can't turn back the clock. But what you can do is focus on what you're going to do going forward. And what he did was rode the next winner half an hour later, and then he got the hell out of there. I bet he looked at his booker afterwards and thought, I've got one more ride in the next. Please, late scratching, get me out of here, get me in the car park and let me climb down a hole. Instead, he fronted up. He did the post-race interview. He held his head high. And I can't believe, and I hope that, I don't know, I'm not sure what's happened today. I've been head down, bum up. But I hope he's appealed against the severity of the 2 month penalty, because that's not right. I mean, a kid makes a mistake. You deserve a penalty, and you need to make sure that the integrity of races are protected so that someone doesn't just say, oh, I made a mistake when I was hooking one. But you could tell that that wasn't the case. Yeah, give the kid a break.
And he's obviously going to cop it from all angles. A 2 month suspension, he has appealed. So hopefully he does. I agree with you. I think he deserves a lesser penalty. Moods, you're a connoisseur of jockey intellect. What did you make of his forgivable sin?
Well, I listen, in his defence, I think it was a pickup ride. I'll be corrected there.
Yes, 8:30 that morning you picked it up.
Yeah, well, he should have had time to have a look at the form and realise what was going on. He got a little rush of blood. Probably unfortunately for him, the girl that he collared on the turn was an inexperienced rider. Had it been one of his older colleagues, they probably would have yelled out to him and said, what the bloody hell are you doing? You've got another lap to go. But the young lass that he went past on the turn probably wasn't sharp enough to do that. But listen, I've always been critical of jockeys over the years, but listen, they're human, they make mistakes. They've only got little heads, so you can't expect them to have big brains inside it. The two-month penalty, I think the precedent's been set previously. That's probably where that comes from, rightly or wrongly. I've always been an advocate for when riders stuff up like that without malice, and even in young apprentices when they make mistakes. Is it right to ban them or stop them riding, or should you maybe banish them to a lesser jurisdiction where they can still ply their trade and maybe rue the fact a bit harder, but still gain practice, particularly in the younger riders? Michael Poy, he's a good young rider. Listen, what do we say? What was he thinking? Only he knows. He'd stuffed it up, got it wrong, move on.
It's going to be a while before he lifts it down, right, man? And we're still taking the piss out of Reece McLeod for doing it nearly 20 years ago.
Well, I think Reece McLeod's the person that gets most upset when these things happen, because he still gets brought up that night at the Valley where he did in a staying affair. Reece McLeod is a Group 1 winning jockey, but no one remembers that. Everyone remembers that night at the Valley. So I think, look, I'm a massive fan of Michael Poy. I think he's a really good young rider. What I like about Michael Poy is that he is often aggressive, and he does like to settle his horses in the first half of the field and let fast horses run fast.
He let a slow horse run fast. That was the problem.
Unfortunately, he's gotten a bit carried away in this instance. So I do understand where the stewards are coming from here with the two-month suspension. It is a sin. Like, he has ruined that horse's chances of winning that race, but he hasn't done it deliberately. But it's a very it's for me, it's probably not a forgivable error because it's a very easily avoidable error. Do your form. Make sure you know the distance of the race. No, it's one lap, not two. It's not rocket science in that regard. So I'm a bigger fan of Michael Poy as anybody. I look forward to him making a comeback when he does return. I think he'll be chomping at the bit to do so. But I think 2 months is probably fair. We can't have this in the game.
No, I disagree entirely with you, Rain Man. Otherwise, we're suspending. There's plenty of mug jockeys that go out there and have done no form. And as an owner, I've employed them to ride my horse at 180 a ride, and they've done no form. They've cared less, and they turn up and you get what you deserve, a bad ride, and they get to come back again tomorrow. You know, Michael Poy, he hasn't deliberately done this. It's not he's a young kid that would do his homework. He would do his form in a normal set of circumstances. I think there's got to be some leeway here for him to have that at least lessened. And I like Moods' idea. Maybe a metropolitan suspension for 2 months.
He did it at Kyneton, though.
I know that, but you can't. He's got to earn a living. Yeah, that's what he's. We need these jockeys to be encouraged to continue with their craft, not throw the book at them when they make one mistake.
Jay Carr off Brooklyn Hustle. Empoyon.
Maybe. Look at that. Wouldn't that be karma?
If he went a lap early on her, at least it might get up on the fucking speed instead of sitting out the back.
That might be what she needs.
Yes.
I saw her on Twitter, it was death, taxes and late money for Brooklyn Hustle. And didn't we all fall in again? I thought she was a hope, but wasn't to be. Yeah, can we move on?
We better move on, Mitho, because Rain Man's got to be out by 6 p.m. and we all operate on Rain Man's schedule, so we better go.
Here we have a mate dedication from Scott to Johnny. Oh, to you, Scott.
Jono, you've got some questionable banter at times. Oh, man, did you butcher the speech at both of Tim's weddings. And you barrack for the worst footy team. But, mate, you nailed last weekend's multi. Love you, big fella.
Good on you, Scott. Try Ladbrokes Mates Mo to chat, share and bet together. T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Let's kick it off in style. We'll go straight into the Group 1 at Eagle Farm. It is the Eagle Farm 10,000. No, they're not going to rename the race. They're going to keep it the same. Rayman, how's the market look for the Group 1 feature?
Marzu has opened as the clear favourite, Rog. We know he doesn't mind the wet tracks. He was dominant on them during the Sydney Autumn Carnival. He's a $2.80 favourite. Kementari, Special K on the second line of betting at $8.50. The early market mover, Count De Rupee, $14 into $9.50. They're the only horses at single figure odds. And it shows the strength of this race. You got Isotope at $10, Rothfires $14, Zoo Style $20, Min Hajj $31. She was single figures in an Oakley Plate earlier this preparation. So it does show the depth there is in the Doom in 10,000 this year. I think Marzu is the deserving favourite. I think the fact that we are going to be racing on a wet track, even if it is at Eagle Farm, does play in his advantage. We know that he is a very, very good wet tracker because he was handling those bottomless tracks in Sydney during the autumn with no problems. He's improved basically every time he's been at the races this preparation. And if he does improve again, he's going to be very tough to beat. I think $2.80 is probably fair. I think you wouldn't want him getting any shorter than that because he still needs to prove it at this level. But he is clearly the horse to beat for mine. I certainly don't want to lose on the race if he gets the job done. In saying that, there's two Godolphin horses I think represent good value here. The first is Special K Kementari. Beat Count De Rupee in that Hallmark Stakes. Nash Rilla scraping up on the inside rail there. And that was very good form. And Count De Rupee's come out and won a victory stake since then. If you look at Kementari's record in the wet, it's actually very, very strong. Two starts on a heavy track for two wins. And he's got a good record on the soft as well. So Kementari, if he produces that Hallmark Stakes effort again, that puts him right in this race. I think at $8.50, that's a great price. Palele at $10, the other Godolphin runner. In the Chase Tone Marzu in the Arrowfield, before it was really good before that in the TJ Smith. So nothing wrong with its wet track form either. And it's been racing, really, really well on these wet surfaces. So if we know that he does have a high rating effort in his saddle, Palele, so at $10, I think he's worth a play here as well. So I'll be saving on Marzu to ensure I don't lose on the race, but be backing Kementari and Palele to come out with a win, carrying the Godolphin Blue.
Just reminding you, Rain Man, that you're the one who wants to go at 6 o'clock. So if you just stick to one horse per race,
it's a great race, Roger. I understand it. I can't stop.
I've known you a long time. I'm well aware of this.
The only horse you didn't talk about was the clerk of the fucking course.
And Moods trots out an old favourite. Isotope, Wide Gate might be too much to overcome. Rothbard, I don't think, up to it at this level anymore. Vega One might be the best horse there, but needs another run. Best to be next start. Shelby 66 probably wishes it was across the Dermot on a heavy 66. Marzu, I'm a bit cautious of Marzu, just given that it is the step up to Group 1 weight for age. He does look a good type, but it's a query. I'm thinking at a price, I'm going back to the well. I have a problem. I've admitted it on here before. I don't care. Last time I backed him and he won, and I think that's the first time that's ever happened. I think things line up pretty damn nicely for Special K. Give me some Kemetari at $8.50.
Well done, Rog. Yeah, you stick fat. Good on you. I know how it feels, Brooklyn Hustle.
Kemetari's won recently, though. Well,
yeah, Kemetari's a much better horse than Brooklyn Hustle. Don't slot him like that.
Yeah. Oh, God. Minhaj is our Rosemont roughie in this at $31. Look, she's had an interrupted prep with those wet tracks in Sydney. She gets through it okay. We had a long discussion, O'Shea and myself, this morning to try and work our way through this. But Eagle Farm, it's a funny track. It doesn't get really heavy, but it actually races firm, you know, even when there's been a bit of rain. And that's been the criticism of it, that horses don't want to let down. So plenty of horses don't handle Eagle Farm, and that's going to be the query here again. How will it race with the weather, and will horses handle it? Will horses that normally handle it under those wet conditions? It's a real raffle for me, but Marzu seems to be a rising star of the sprint ranks. And I see that they've locked away an Everest slot just late today. So that's late breaking news for our Moody on the Mic listeners. Marzu in the Everest later in the year. So
late breaking news for our Moody on the Mic listeners who listen to the podcast and could be listening to it next week when it's 7 days old.
Yeah. It'll be even later breaking by then. So I'm interested in that they've locked in. Someone knows something and thinks this horse is going pretty well. So I'm gonna follow my little sniff and inclination there that Marzu's going well enough to win this and justify an Everest slot. Marzu for me straight out.
Well, thank God for that. It's taken 20 minutes for the three of you to get through the race. You're a brave man to back Kemetari to win two in a row. I think Count de Rupee's in good form, gets a nice run just behind a very solid speed here. The watch horse, the 11 generation. I know Jamie Carr's making the special trip up to Eagle Farm to ride this horse. She's engaged to ride one of mine, but it wasn't mine she's travelling up there for. So I'm thinking that she believes Generation's a great chance in this race also. So I'd be coupling up the 3 and the 11. It is a very good race, but I just doubt Eagle Farm will get wet enough for the likes of Marzu. I can understand them locking him away for an Everest slot because it's usually run on a heavy 28 in Sydney that we're very used to. So they're banking on the wet track there later in the year. But Count de Rupee, Generation, couple them up, have a bit of fun in the quaddie, in the multis, and I reckon you'll come out on top.
The Spirit of Boone Classic is a Group 2 for the two-year-olds. It's the first leg of the two-year-old Triple Crown on the Brisbane Winter Racing Carnival. Rain Man, we get to look at a couple of unbeaten horses here, but one in particular that's piqued the interest of many and is the market leader.
Yeah, Capital Tower, the favourite, Rog. 3 wins from 3 road starts. It's $3.70. Exo Lady for Desley Force has been $5.50 into $4.60. And then we've got Brereton in there at $11. Has drawn barrier 21, though, but Jamie Carr in the saddle. She'll need to be at her very best. I found this a very, very difficult race, Rog, especially because of this wet track factor as well. Capital Tower, 3 wins from as many starts on a soft track. This will be its first look at it, probably what's probably going to end up being a fairly heavy surface. But its form, especially its last start win at Toowoomba, was really high class. So it's definitely a quality horse. I think it's a deserving favourite. I can understand why there's been support for Exo Lady there as well at $4.60. Wouldn't be surprised to see an improved effort from Sandpaper here at $8 for the Godolphin stable. Failed to fire in the Skyline Stakes, but its form before that was quite good. So they're the 3 I'm looking at. But for me, it's I'm going to stay out from a betting perspective.
I'm going to wait just until I see conditions on the day. I'm very keen on Capital Tower. if it doesn't get any worse than a soft six. So, look, if it gets to a seven or worse, I know they've trialed him on heavy ground and he doesn't seem to like it. So I'm going to wait until the day to see whether I have a bet or not. But, look, I think he'll pretty comfortably step up to the grade here if he gets the right surface. I mentioned I spoke to Gollan earlier, and he's pretty excited about this colt, more so than he was about his four Group 1 runners. So I'm with Capital Tower, provided it doesn't get to a seven or worse.
Yeah, I can see your rationale there, Rog. I'm not going to tip away from Burton. We know he's a very talented colt. Look, Barrier 21, I'll be interested in Mood's thoughts in a minute, but for what it's worth, you usually hear that on a heavy track you don't want to be drawn down low and be caught down there on the surface that's had the most traffic. So maybe 21, sit out wide, Jamie Carr gets three wide cover, maybe even four wide cover and peels off and comes down the outside on fresh ground. That might be the way this horse uses blinkers for the first time, Peter, and I believe you'd did a little bit of work during the week with this horse in the blinkers. Tell us all. Tell us more.
Well, I haven't had the discussion with the ownership group, as the podcast will be well aware of post this, but I would suggest Brereton will probably have the day off. I don't think he needs to go to this race from that draw. I think his sole aim is to size Produce in another 2 weeks' time. So I think a young promising colt like him, probably we don't need to risk him from this very ordinary draw on this occasion. So that conversation will be had over the next few days, I am sure. But listen, I think probably Exo Lady, she beat most of these the other day, Burton included. I think it'll sit up on the pace, and certainly at each way odds will give a great sight. Capital Tower, obviously the horse to beat, massive boom, and it has looked very impressive. But with slightly shifting ground, you know, maybe that's going to be a little bit of a question mark. So I think the safe bet here is probably Exo Lady. Probably if it doesn't lead, it sits in the first two or three, and will give you a great sight in each way all day for me.
That is genuine breaking news to the owner, the managing owner, Anthony Mithen, that his horse was probably going to be scratched from the group too. If we had time, we'd get comment, but we don't. So we'll push on to the SA Derby. Rainman, give us the market.
Allegron is the favourite here, Rog, $2.80. Detonator Jack, $4, out to $4.50. The market movers, Jungle Magnate, it's been $9 into $6.50. And Harley Moving is the only other horse at single figure odds here at $7.50. I think Allegron's an outstanding bet here in the South Australian Derby. I think he's a truly deserving favourite. We saw him finish second behind Hitotsu in the Victoria Derby. He was third behind Hitotsu in the Australian Derby. There ain't no Hitotsu in this race. If he brings his best staying form, I think he's got a few lengths up his sleeve over the rest of this field here. Last start in the St. Ledger, VRC St. Ledger, he was very tough to get the job done there at a short price. He's been up for a while, but he's a very fit horse who just seems to really relish these staying trips. So Barrier 3 suits, Damien Oliver in the saddle. I think he's going to be very tough to beat. He's one of my best bets of the day.
I'm going to go just with Jungle Magnate, although I was more keen when he was $8.50 and he's now into $6.50. I wouldn't want to get any shorter than that. Tarzino was one of my favourite horses when he was going around, except for the time he got rolled odds on in the Australian Derby. So I'm going to go with his son. I love the way he finished off in the Chairman's. I thought that was a terrific Derby trial. So I'm going to go with Jungle Magnate at $6.50 ahead of Allegron.
Yeah, I'm going to flip him back the other way, Rog. Allegron, for me, I think he's an outstanding horse, and he's probably should be lining up in the Andrew Ramsden to make a good thing of him running in the Melbourne Cup later in the year, because I know we're not doing that race, but it's come up pretty soft, I would have thought, for a golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup $500,000 race. Had he gone there, he would have won that with a leg in the air, but I think he goes and does that in Adelaide. Special mention to Jungle Magnate, the son of Tarzino. Hopefully he can be his first Group 1 winner for the Stallion, who we've got an interest in and raced. But Allegron looks a class above these for me.
He was very impressive, Allegra, at his last run, but he's had a pretty sustained prep, and that heavy track run in Sydney still in the back of my mind. Always a little question mark there. Johnny Allen, I think he's won 5 out of the last 6, or certainly 4 out of the last 5 South Australian derbies.
I think he's won 11 derbies since he arrived in Australia, Moods. It is absolutely incredible.
And this association he's formed with Ma Eustace off the back of his DK Weir association has been phenomenal. Detonator Jack, I was at Sandown the other day when he won and beat the older horses. He'll sit back, and I think sort of a slightly fresher legs than Allegron, the favourite. I think he's the one to beat, Detonator Jack. Jungle Magnet, that race was run at a torrid tempo the other day when he won the lead-up to the race, and then he's travelled back to Melbourne and then travels back over there again. I just think he and Allegron, you know, just might feel the wares of racing, and Detonator Jack, even though he's in his first prep, has done nothing wrong. Jay Allen, Magic, Ma Eustace, well, listen, they don't need any accolades. They're taking everything before them. I think the 6 wins and maintains his unbeaten record.
Here we have a mate dedication from Scott to John. Over to you, Scott.
Jono, you've got some questionable banter at times. Oh, man, did you butcher the speech at both of Tim's weddings. And you barrack for the worst footy team. But, mate, you nailed last weekend's multi. Love you, big fella.
Good on you, Scott. Try Ladbrokes Mates Mode to chat, share and bet together. T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Best bets time, Rayman. We know you've got to go, so give us your best and get the hell out of here.
Scone, race 7, number 4, Andermatt, Rog. The Luskin starts $2.30, should be odds on. If this horse was in the Doombin 10,000, it would be a serious player. One of the most exciting sprinters in the country, in my opinion. Has drawn wide, it won't matter. I think he's going to be very tough to beat. Looking for a value runner, warning in the Andrew Ramsden. He's the best horse in that race by several lengths. If he brings anything like his best, he'll be very tough to beat. He's $8.50, which is outstanding value. You can't eat value, but that is just, you can't go past that. Warning in the Andrew Ramsden, my best each way as well.
Okay, thank you very much. We bid you adieu, Rain Man. Gee, I'm looking forward to seeing Elation in the Adelaide Guineas on Saturday, but $1.35, I'm not going to do that to you, folks. I'm not even going to back it myself. It's way too short. You're going to have to wait till the last at Flemington for mine. I think Dosh is a clear class runner in the sprint race. She's Group 2 place, 2 starts back. That was only carrying 51 kilos that day. On Saturday with Logan McNeil's 3-kilo claim, she'll carry 57.5 down the straight. She's a very fast horse, Moods. She'll ping. She'll go from the outset. I think the 1,000 metres is ideal. She's good fresh. She is class, and I think she'll have too much class for her rivals. Flemington, race 9, number 1, Dosh, about $4 with Ladbrokes.
Well done, Rog. We're collecting a lovely little arsenal of best bets here, and I'll give you a couple if I can. There's a horse that we've been very excited about for quite some time. His name is Dool, and he runs in the first race at Flemington. He's a 2-year-old by Snitzel, and I think he is very, very, very good. I might have even tipped him, Moods, in our spring preview. Was it spring or autumn preview that we did there at Mooney Valley?
Yeah, autumn preview.
Autumn preview. It's taken a while for us to get him there. He's been a little bit soft in his shins, but... he'll go there and show what he's made of on Saturday, the flying doormat at Flemington. And if you want a cheeky bet at Scone on Friday, we've got a first starter out of, well, not a first starter, first starter in Australia, out of Europe by Siuni called Ciata, running race 4, number 7 at Scone for Johnny O'Shea. And a couple of the top jockeys have had a sit on her in the last couple of weeks and said, we'll ride her wherever she goes. So... we're pretty happy to be taking her to a class 1 at Scone on Friday, Ciata. And I see that she's in some markets as much as $10. Not sure what she's doing on Ladbrokes, but get in and bet up, punters.
Is Michael Poy riding her?
I'll put him on. If he wins that suspension, why not?
Good on him. Good on him. Listen, I'm going to pick the hardest race of the day. I'm going to stick fat with Detonator Jack to... build his picket fence. Johnny Allen to get another South Australian Derby trophy on the mantelpiece. He mightn't be the fastest horse there. Johnny mightn't be able to let him run fast because he drifts back into the field. But I reckon he'll let him run fast in the straight and he'll get the job done.
Ladbrokes.